so thick.
You're a little fat boy.
You're thick. You're so thick. You're a good dog. Oh,
God.
We're talking to a dog.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Jess, and I'm like, wow, you're so mean. Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Bean.
And we welcome to our show, which is about what today?
Today, we are going to be talking about being trans and furry. So if you don't know what trans is short for, it is for transgendered. And
I have no idea.
Space and I are neither of us are any kind of trans. So we actually have a guest on our show today. Why don't you introduce yourself? What's your name? What's your persona's name? You know.
My name is Jess, and my persona is Moondoggy,
mm-hmm.
the dingo.
He's a dingo doggy.
That's cute.
And Jess is actually a pretty close friend of mine. We've been friends since, like, ninth grade of high school, and I'm 24 now, so that shows you how long we've been buds. And so I thought you would be the perfect person to talk to about this. I mean, because I personally watched you grow into your identity today, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Jess would know how to, you know, discuss specifically. I mean, being trans in itself is just, it's a human thing. It's not a fandom specific thing, but it can tie into the fandom culture so much with how the fandom is such an LGBT friendly space.
Oh, yeah.
So we wanted to just talk about, you know, what's it like being transgendered? How does it connect to the fandom and things like that? So.
So the first question on the list is, what is your definition of transgender, and how would you explain it to someone who doesn't know what that means?
My definition of being trans is basically you're not who you were
identified as
when you are born. I was born as biologically a female, but I've never saw myself as a female before. I've always knew deep down I was born to be a boy. Well, now technically, man, I'm almost 26 now, but you get the idea.
You a man now.
I'm a man now.
Boy, howdy.
And basically, if I had to explain it to somebody, I've had to explain this to multiple friends, neighbors, and my family. I wasn't born who I was supposed to be. Someone got something wrong. Not me.
It wasn't me, God. It was you.
It was you, God. I was born to be a boy. A guy. Born the wrong sex.
So, a lot of people have defined it that way. How it feels like you were born, like, into the wrong body.
Yeah.
When do you think you realized that you were transgender? Like, because I'm sure a lot of us didn't even know what that was when we were younger. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we did, you would have realized it sooner. But when do you think it like, actually clicked?
It didn't. I didn't know right away. Mm-hmm. I think I always knew, especially when I started middle school.
Yeah.
But I never really actually thought that hard. I always thought, like, maybe I'm a tomboy or, you know.
Yeah.
But right after high school, when I went off to trade school and when I came back, I actually started trying to explore and try to find myself. Because I was off on so many different things. I didn't have the time to actually sit down and say, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, not look in the mirror and see myself, but somebody else staring back at me.
Yeah.
And it's always been that way.
I've always wondered about that. Like when you look in the mirror, like just in general, like anyone who's listening, you see you, right? And you accept it and you say, oh, I'm beautiful, or oh, I don't really like how the way I look today. But for someone who's transgender, they go and they look in the mirror, you don't see what you feel you should look like. Am I correct?
Yeah.
And that's got to be hard, because that's almost like mentally rejecting yourself, not just as a physical being, but also up in the head. And that's got to be really frustrating.
Oh, tell me about it. Every time I do catch myself in the mirror, I try to look at myself like chin up, because I can't bear myself to look down, because that's not, it doesn't feel like me, you know, like.
Is that how you would define dysphoria?
Yeah.
Why don't you explain what dysphoria is for people who don't know? Do you need help with that one? It's kind of a science-y one.
Probably. I'm not very good at science.
So dysphoria is a medical term, and it's the best way I've heard it described is that, like, that feeling of pain that you get when you see your body that doesn't fit how you feel it should be. So it's like if you were a man but you have breasts and you feel like they shouldn't be there, you get that pain in your chest, and that's what dysphoria is.
Oh, definitely. Then I feel that all the time.
Yeah.
Like I can't, like I mentioned earlier, I can't bear to see myself looking past like where my neck is, because everything else, like the rest of my body, it's not.
It causes stress.
It's stressful. And then that stress piles on, especially when I go out in public. If I'm at work, even though everybody at work is like, oh, accepting, not everybody else is. And it bothers me to a T.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't even want to go out because I don't feel like I'm myself.
Yeah.
Or I'm not the person that I want to be as when I go out.
Yeah.
Because everybody can see the person that I'm not.
When you do go out, let's say like you go to the mall or you're at a store and you kind of catch a glimpse of yourself in the window, do you have like a instant like anxiety attack, or you just like not think of it unless you actually are looking at yourself?
A few years ago, I really had anxiety a lot. Nowadays, like most recently, I just tried to shrug it off. It hurts a little bit if I look at my reflection, or if someone misgenders me while I'm out. And I'm a pretty hefty guy, so a lot of people say I can pass, like my friends and coworkers say that I can pass no problem because they understand, but not everybody understands. And when someone's like, oh, hi, dead pronoun, I'm like, I'm actually a guy, and sometimes I can't speak up because of the anxiety. We live down in the South, and it's really hard to try to correct somebody without, you know,
confrontation people. Or a hate crime.
I've had my life threatened at my old job because of that.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, the Bible Belt is really tough. And I mean, Space doesn't live in the Bible Belt, but he does live in Utah, where all the Mormons are, so I'm sure he understands too, yeah.
I understand judgment fairly well. Utah's really good at judging people. So the Mormon church in Utah is pretty gnarly. If you go outside of the state of Utah, Mormons are pretty laid back.
Yeah, so it's just in Utah.
If you ever like come across some, you'll probably meet some really nice people. Like just really not like out there to get you, welcoming of everything. But when you come to Utah, it's a complete different story. Everyone's fake for the most part. So like I'm not. So like when I'm walking around, I'm super genuine. So if it makes them uncomfortable, then good. I'm causing them to feel something.
Yeah.
So God, I don't know. That's gotta be rough.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Are there any you said at your past job you've, you know, had your life threatened due to it, and those are some obvious hardships that come with being trans, but have you had any hardships being trans specifically in the furry fandom at all?
No.
No?
At all.
Not even a little. No.
Explain your experience to that.
Use the wrong pronouns, but that's just because they didn't know.
Yeah, and then you can correct them, and then they won't.
The furry fandom is so accepting with the LGBTQ community, that people that would get something like not using correct pronouns or knowing at first, they're quick to apologize and accept. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
So the furry community, no, it's all gravy.
Hey, Space, why do you think the furry fandom is so LGBT-centric? Like, I want to know your theory on this, because you're a little bit older than me, and you've been out as gay for a lot longer than me.
I gather the reason why it's more accepting is because the fandom literally is all walks of life. Whether you're poor or rich, you grew up in a great home or not in a great home, situations where you're transgender and you live in the Bible Belt, and then there's the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I feel like there's every person in the fandom has a doppelganger or has some sort of relation to each other, and that makes a connection. So I feel like the furry fandom has all of these different types of people. We understand what it's like to be, you know, part of the outcast or to be shunned for our own individual reasons. But as a whole, we don't want to feel that. So I think as a whole, the fandom wants to be as accepting as possible to make it a family that you never got.
Yes.
That's the best way I can really explain it. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't trade this family for anything in the world.
Oh, absolutely not.
This is the best family ever.
It's funny to me to think about, like, the furry fandom is based around animals.
Yep.
And in the animal kingdom, gender isn't really a thing. Sexuality isn't really a thing. There are, and people who are homophobic are always like, well, it's not natural. But it's proven time and time again that homosexuality is so common in animals. Being transgender is something in animals. There are female-born lionesses who will grow manes and get male, you know, roles in the pride. Hyenas can grow penises if there are no males in a pack to keep the bloodline going. There are so many different types of fish and bugs that break, you know, what humans would consider a gender spectrum or any kind of hard sexuality, you know, you have to be this or this. And so I think it's funny and great that a fandom that is very much, you know, interested in, you know, animals and anthropomorphics, that of course this fandom would have the same kind of ideas on gender and sexuality as literal nature.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Would being a furry, like, would you say that the furry fandom has been therapeutic in any way for you as a trans person? Or has it helped you discover yourself or anything like that? Like,
oh, definitely. The furry fandom is, like, my go-to for any kind of therapeutic, whether it be drawing mm-hmm. or fursuiting or just hanging out with the people I've met in this fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I didn't have the fandom, I don't think I would be here today.
Yeah.
True that.
For real.
I know Space and I have talked about escapism in the fandom in the past, specifically with Lisa Ling's documentary on furries.
Oh, yeah.
And how people with disabilities, awesome. Yeah, will use the fandom as escapism to, you know, almost experience being able-bodied again. And I feel like with any kind of, like, LGBT-based thing, especially being trans, I feel like the fandom can help in so many ways, not just for escapism, but to help you identify yourself easier. Because I feel like furries contemplate about the self and about, you know, their relationship with the world and with themselves more than the normal person.
They're definitely more aware. Like,
they're more self-aware.
Exactly. Like, we know more probably, like you said, than the average person, because we just kind of, I don't know why. That's actually kind of interesting. I'd like to dive into that and find out what it is that makes us a little bit more aware than the average person.
I mean, that because would
be interesting.
The process of building a fursona, for example, in and of itself is you have to know yourself to start building on that. Most people will have either a fursona that directly reflects them or reflects their ideal self. And no matter what kind of fursona you have a bit of you in there. And it takes a lot to take a piece of you and to put it into a character and to learn how to character build based off of your own traits, whether they're physically there or they're mentally there or anything like that. And maybe that just comes with being an artist, you know, knowing yourself more. But not all furries are artists. Some of them just collect art. So it's like, I don't know. It's interesting to think about.
You know, I don't know why I haven't made this reference before. And it just dawned on me because it's just probably the most perfect reference. You think of the movie Avatar, not the Airbender, but the other one.
The blue people one?
Yeah, where you have a disabled guy in a wheelchair who gets in the conscious and is becoming something he's not actually something in a different world and gets to be part of this world. I wonder if, you know, just for you, if it's kind of like that, like, you know, that physically right now you're not 100% okay. But if you were to like think of the fandom through like an avatar way, I guess, is it kind of like the same? You kind of just like jump into this world and then you feel comfortable with yourself and everyone else because you are who you want to be. You know, it's kind of a weird question. I'm sorry. I was trying to make it like.
No, it's fine. Like, I'm not trying to think about like jumping into like an avatar. I'm like, is that metaphoric for my person?
Yeah. So you get hooked up into a machine and then your conscious is then transferred into your fursuit, who is a real thing.
Oh, yeah. I guess it
VR would be a good much, one.
I mean, you can think of it just as your persona, not just your fursuit.
As my fursuit, then yeah. Moondoggy has gone from a sketch that I did in math class like a bazillion years ago. And now he's basically, like we said earlier, my ideal self. He's laid back. He's out. He's just living life to the fullest and just vibing. And that's what I want to do. Yeah. Even though life right now, you can't always do that because things get in the way.
But you can definitely obtain it. And I think that's something that is important with a persona, is it can be, even if it's not what you are right now, it could be a reminder that you can get there.
Right.
So would you say, like, when you first drew the sketch to what you have now art-wise, has your persona evolved as you've grown into your identity?
Yes. Actually, Moondoggy wasn't even my persona back then. It was actually a husky, and now Moondoggy, who was originally a side character, is now became more of my persona because I put so much more heart and myself into him. He just evolved with me as I grew and became older and finding myself.
It's interesting that you talk about your original persona. Their name was Southern.
Yep, he's on the wall.
Yeah. All these posters. Southern Pup was Jess's original persona, and that's what I knew him as when I first met Jess back in high school. This was before you came out as trans. And I even remember when we were younger and we would sit in your room and, you know, draw furries and stuff like that. I remember drawing a picture of Southern Pup for you, which at the time was a female character, because at the time that's, you know, what... you didn't know what trans was yet. So I remember drawing eyelashes on it because I always drew eyelashes on female characters. And then I like felt weird and I was like, this doesn't feel right. And then I erased them, even though all, you know, even to this day, feminine and female characters, I always draw them with eyelashes. And even before Jess had came out as trans, even back then I had a gut feeling. I was like, that doesn't feel right though. Like, and I erased them. Like,
like, that doesn't belong there.
And you never drew Southern as a feminine character, ever.
No, never.
I've never really thought about a character or a persona with eyelashes until you pointed it out. I mean, I've seen it, but I've never just, like, thought about it.
I mean, animals have eyelashes naturally. I would just add them on, but...
Yeah. But
it's just, it's interesting seeing how your persona... because even Southern grew a little bit with you.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, but for the most part, they remain static. But it's when you... you got into your now persona Moondoggy, that's when I feel like you started, you know, understanding the self more mm-hmm. and realizing what was really going on. So what would you say is the difference between just, you know, being gay and you know, lesbian, bi, whatever, and being transgender? Because sexuality and gender are different, but they can still go hand in hand.
They can go hand in hand. Because you can be trans and also be gay.
Yeah.
My last relationship, I'm pansexual. Mm-hmm. But let's say if I wasn't, my preference is other guys, you know? I lean more toward guys, but again, I'm pan.
Yeah.
But if a trans guy wants to go out with other guys, then of course.
It's still a gay relationship.
It's still gay because mm-hmm. it's a guy and a guy.
Yeah.
And then if a trans guy is more into females, then it's he's straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go hand in hand. Being gay would be more of a sexual preference mm-hmm. than actually being identified
yeah.
as a,
you know, like the pronouns yeah, that you go by
and stuff.
Yeah. I can say that's probably true.
And there are people who go by like they, them pronouns. It's mm-hmm. being non-binary. And on the trans flag, it is the colors blue, pink, and white. Blue is supposed to represent, you know, trans men, pink, trans women. And then the white, I've heard, is supposed to represent being non-binary. So a lot of, there's been an argument, you know, especially during Pride Month, unfortunately, where people are like, being non-binary isn't being trans. And then others are like, well, being non-binary is being trans, because some non-binary people, even though they go by they, them pronouns, will get like top or bottom surgery or take
testosterone
or estrogen. So, like, do you think that non-binary folk fit under the trans definition?
In my opinion, yes.
Yeah.
In my opinion, yes.
Because they're still, I guess, defying the labels that they were forced onto when they were born.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of like stuck in limbo. So it's like we're trying to be something, and that in itself can be something where we, I guess you could like say, transition into like being a male or a female. So I kind of think, and I'll probably put myself out there too as non-binary, I kind of feel like we should also have a place, you know, in that field.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. Really, I think non-binary people fit under the trans definition as well. It's just, it can be tricky for a lot of folks who fit under that. Because I'm not non-binary, but I know so many people who are. And it's like, they fight a fight that's, you know, that maybe they want to get top surgery, or maybe they don't, or maybe they take hormones. And then other people, because of how they are choosing to transition into the body that they want as a non-binary person, other people who aren't non-binary start to police them, saying like, oh no, if you do this, then maybe you're actually trans, or maybe you're cis because you're not doing enough. And it's like, you know, everybody's definition of their gender, whether it's, you know, cis, trans, non-binary, any of that, it's up to them.
Yeah. Is, would intersex be considered non-binary?
I think that depends on the person, actually, because I've heard some intersex people just being like, no, even though I have, you know, this and this chromosomes, or my body is like this, I still identify as a woman or as a man. So here's something I've learned from David Bowie, and it's that gender is between your ears, not between your legs. So no matter what your body is done in any way as an intersex person, I feel like it's still your decision in your brain as to what your gender identity is.
And I guess that question was more not like geared towards you, Jess. It was just more or less to kind of understand, because I myself am intersex and I don't know where I really fit on the spectrum. I just, I'm not a woman or a man. And so by genetics, those who are all listening, you would have heard me talk about it in episodes past, but if you haven't, you're just joining now, I have something called Klinefelters, which means I have an extra chromosome. So I am XXY. So I am both male and female at the same time, but I neither agree with both sides. Sometimes I feel female, sometimes I feel male, but I don't know where I am. So I kind of just stuck in this limbo of a body, I suppose. And sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, I look pretty, but I see it as like a feminine thing. And then other days I'll look in the mirror and I'll be like, I feel manly today, but I don't ever feel one or the other fully.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that reminds me of either being gender fluid, which is a label I don't hear as much anymore, but it is still something that exists, and or being non-binary. So gender fluid pertains to gender stuff.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to sexuality, it could be, you know, maybe your preference doesn't switch. You're not like, oh, I like men or I like women or I'm a lesbian or I'm a gay person. It's like, maybe you could be considered pansexual. So you still can have a heavy preference for one gender, like, you know, men, for example. But if you still find that attraction going elsewhere, even if it's just by 1%, you can still consider yourself pansexual. But that's all up to you. That's all to your own self-definition. But gender fluidity and being non-binary, you know, they both exist and they could both be options that you could explore.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still on the fence, but I'll probably be on the fence for the rest of my life because I just don't know where to go with it.
I mean, you know, and some people don't have to, you know, some people never will find that true label that to grasp and hold on to. It's okay being unsure, just as long as, you know, if you find comfort, you know, and, you know, who you're with, like your partner or partners and, you know, and how you dress and all that, it's living your life is more important than finding that perfect label. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Jess,
yeah.
What advice would you give a trans person who might be feeling lost in the community right now? And this can both be in the furry community and out of the furry community.
Yeah, maybe one for each. Because I feel like
right. It's a split
the experience question. In the fandom can be very different than out of the fandom.
If anyone is trans right now and feeling lost, just be you. Find yourself. You don't have to rush. There's no finish line. There's nobody's quota that you have to meet except for you. And you have all the time in the world. It took me until I was about 24 to feel and find myself completely. Like, I was lost for about at least 4 years before I found myself.
Yeah.
So you're not alone. You can do this. And if you feel lost, just reach out to people. Like, your friends will understand. Some family members will actually understand. Even if you feel like they won't, they will. If they truly love you, they will. I never
especially thought... Especially
with time. Like, I was so scared that my family would not understand because they've never experienced what that meant.
Yeah.
I mean, my father is bisexual. My sister is bisexual. Hell, my two uncles are gay. But transgender, it was foreign to them. They didn't understand. They thought I was just... It was just a phase. You're going to get that a lot. Or maybe, hey, you're probably just, you know, a tomboy, a tom girl, mm-hmm. whatever. Don't listen to anybody else except for your own heart.
Yeah, focusing on the self, I think, is really important.
Oh, because definitely.
I feel like trans people are fighting tooth and nail just to hold on to their own identity. So focusing on you and not, you know, other people, like... It's fill your
much.
Own happiness. You can't get overwhelmed with that.
Yeah. And I got overwhelmed with that.
Yeah.
Like, I would stress every single day.
Yeah.
And you, being definitely saw that with myself.
I did.
I broke down when I told my parents I never thought that they would accept me.
Yeah. I remember that.
Acceptance, regardless of who you get it from, is probably the most like important feeling you could ever feel.
Yeah. And just normalization in general, this can go with like being gay as well. If you're out and about and you see something like in a store that's like, you know, LGBT welcome here, or safe space stickers at on school, you know, public school doors, like teachers who will be okay with you coming out to them or needing help in that regard will usually have the safe space stickers. Just things like that, little things like that every day. It's like reassuring.
It's reassuring. It lifts a lot of weight off your shoulders.
Yeah. And even things that some people in the LGBT community will complain about, for example, Target selling trans pride stuff and gay pride stuff. A lot of people in the LGBT community are like, well, they're just profiting off of us during Pride Month. They don't really care. And I can understand that. But also the fact that the world is changing enough to where people won't 100% boycott shopping there because they're selling Pride merch. Like, the world is changing enough for that to be a thing. Even if it's their intention is to make money off of you, it's still better than 10 years ago when if a shop put up a gay pride flag, they would get closed down so fast.
Instantly, yeah.
Vandalized.
It's not like what they're selling, it's the idea behind it. So either way, like even if, like you said, they're making money off of it, it doesn't matter. You can now get stuff there and not have to like worry what other people are going to think.
Yeah. And it's just even just driving around or seeing like the equal rights campaign in Georgia. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're just in Georgia or if they're everywhere, but you know, those on people's cars and, you know, or people walking around with like, I love my trans kid or I love my gay kid. Like, you know, even the straight ally flag and the fact that that's even a thing that exists, like you'll find your place.
I believe that chapter is out here in Utah.
Yeah.
Well, I see it a lot, especially during June, which is our Pride Month. And June is huge here in Utah. Like, you hear, like, Pride Month across the nation, across the world. But, like, a couple of years ago, there was a survey done, and Salt Lake City was the number one most diverse and, I think, LGBTQ-friendly city in the United States.
Interesting.
The city itself, well, not the county or, like, the other ones, just the city itself. I gotta say, that's probably true. The closer you get to the actual city itself, the more diverse you get to see of people, and it's so interesting. And then the further you go out, the more the communities start to kind of like, you get like your mom communities.
I feel like that's with a lot of communities.
Yeah, I think it's probably true.
Because when you go into the city, more people live there and it's more diverse. And the more people you see, the more experiences you hear about or read about or just see as a person. And it's like, it's, you will never truly understand somebody else's perspective unless they tell you or unless you see it. So cities are just more heavily populated naturally with more diverse people. So I feel like that's why it goes more liberal when it goes to that. I know Atlanta is the gayest city in the South.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a whole street that is populated by almost exclusively gay people. There's a pride flags at least every three steps. It's Piedmont.
Mm-hmm. Piedmont.
Piedmont.
That's cool.
Open my dog cafe.
Yeah.
That's cool. I know that, like, when I first was learning about transgender and people that transitioned when I was first coming out, like, I had my opinions against it. And over a course, I'd say of, like, I'd probably say with over maybe, like, 6 to 8 years, my opinion has dramatically changed. When I first was, like, learning about it, I didn't understand why that was a thing or why people would do that and why it was such a big deal. And I really never really understood it. I saw it as a scientific thing. So the way I broke it down was, well, you can change all you want on the outside, but if you do the DNA underneath a microscope, genetically, you're still male. And so that's what my point of view was. But my friends kind of helped me over time see different people take their different struggles, their different, you know, journeys. And as I kind of like grew into being me and to seeing other people who transition, I finally understood what they were going through. Because I was able to break it down for me to be like a mental and then an emotional and a physical process. There's so much that's going on, and you can't really just judge based off of what you're seeing. Yeah, it's like the saying, don't judge a book by its cover. same thing applies to every person out there. You can't just judge them for what they are or for what they're doing. Like you said, you have to listen to their story, their understanding, their reasons why they're doing what they're doing. You may actually find that you'll like this person a lot more, or you'll have a closer relationship to them. And that's what happened to me. I got to see different people that I've met, some who had successfully transitioned, some who were starting, some that are in the middle of it. And I got to see like every bit of it. And I finally kind of like understood through my own negative experiences and then hearing others about transgenders. And I genuinely have such an appreciation because what they have to go through, and just what you have to go through, but I'm saying they as like a, as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understandable.
Is what they have to go through is probably 10 times more harder than what the average person has to go through, because you're not just changing who you are on the outside, but you're mentally training yourself to be who you want to be on the inside. And that's got to be really freaking hard to do. Like, really hard to do. So I have a lot of respect for those who have transitioned or who are starting, because it's such a life-changing experience. And it's so rewarding to see them start, go to the middle, and then the ending of it as well. It's almost like they're graduating into a whole new them. A them that a them that they wanted to be, and a them that you get to see. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have any other questions.
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
Yeah. If our fans out there have questions, if you're transgender, or if you have questions about transgenders, don't be afraid to ask us. You can also reach us on Facebook, Twitter, and Telegram. If you want to, you can email us at talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. You know, that would actually recommend that one if you're kind of nervous about asking your questions out in public.
Yeah, because we can keep you anonymous over email.
Absolutely. And I get a couple of emails a month, you know, from all walks of life. And I really love reading them and like responding back to them. It takes me a while, but I get back to them eventually. But yeah, if you have any questions, please ask, because I'll definitely forward the questions off to Bean, and then Bean will either answer them or forward them off to either Jess or someone that she knows would be the best to answer this question.
Yeah. And what are your social media pages, with, like your Twitter and your...
Let me look them all up.
I know your Twitter isn't it, that one pup, or is it different now?
I changed it.
Is it like Boba King?
Yes. That's right. It is Boba King.
My at on Twitter is Mellow Moon Mutt. It'll come up as Boba King because I'm a slut for boba.
My God, I love boba. Do you like the popping boba or do you like the tapioca boba?
You know what? It all depends on which shop I'm at. Like, there's a shop that really has really good popping boba, and there's a shop that really has really good normal boba, and then there's a shop that does frozen boba.
That sounds so good. It's legitimately, like, if you were to look at my DoorDash orders from this week, because I've been home all week, at least once every other day has been an order for boba to come in, and they're always from different people, but they're so good. Oh, tell I love them so it. Much.
Like, I was in New York for only a short weekend, and every day I got boba. And it was from different stores, and they did it in such different and unique ways. I'm like, man, I really need to move out here. Or
something. The variety, the flavor.
Exactly, my Jordan.
It like you haven't experienced life until you've had boba. After that, you can say you've experienced it, because it just like takes you on a journey into like this most amazing flavor trip. It's so good.
I make friends. I'm going to take you to boba. What's boba? What? Hold the phone. Put the brakes on.
What?
Now. Because at work, we always go get boba, too.
Oh, man. I miss boba. Fuck, a pandemic is keeping the boba from me. We live in the sticks, so we don't have DoorDash for boba.
You know what? The boba shop that I took to you that one time.
It's closed right now, isn't it?
You can actually do Cullen orders.
No.
Ooh. Yeah, and you can go up there and get it.
Ooh.
You can't walk in.
Ooh, yeah, I don't need to walk in. I just need to walk away with some boba.
Apparently, I don't know if you guys have them out there. Do you have a Sodalicious out in Georgia?
Never heard
what
of it.
What is a Sodalicious? That's the gayest sound of shit I've ever heard in my life.
They have, there's a couple shops out here. They're like soda shops, and they literally look like those, like, standalone coffee shops that you kind of, like, drive through.
Yeah.
But they specifically specialize in just soda, and they always have, like, different flavors, like, hundreds of different flavors, kind of like how Sonic has, like, hundreds of different things you can choose from. So, but they also make boba as well. And I was just going to say, if anyone's ever been to a Sodalicious, do not order their boba. It's not worth it. They don't know how to, they need to stick to their sodas and not to that other region of bobas.
Okay, but I wonder how Tapioca Pearl would even react inside of a soda.
Experimental time.
Because that doesn't sound bad if it worked. Especially right? Like,
I wonder if it would like, if it would be like, oh, dude, a popping one would be really interesting. I wonder if it would pop it, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll tell you what would be a really interesting experience, because we're going off the handle here, but that's what we do. What if you had a boba with popping boba, and then you had sprinkled on the top Pop Rocks?
Mmm, that sounds kind of good.
That's too much, man. Even Copper said no. Copper's like, no. That's
no. I've had Sonic made like a Pop Rocks one. And I think they just straight up put Pop Rocks in the soda. So when you drink it, it's already been popped. And I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah, because doesn't a Pop Rock just react with any liquid?
Yeah, it's
Pretty much.
Then Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I have seen Cadbury makes these like popping chocolates. So you can eat like little, they're like little Santa Clauses.
Yeah, I've had them
like
before.
Different holidays, and like they pop in your mouth while you're enjoying like chocolate.
That
I'm like,
sounds like a nasty trick.
it is at first. You're just like, what the hell? And then after a while, you're just like, all right, I dig it. I could do it. It's good.
On the subject of chocolate, have you ever had like you go to the movies and get like chocolate covered gummy bears?
I love Muddy Bears. They have to be frozen for me, though.
They have to be good bears. They can't be like the
shit bears.
Like the ones that like take forever to chew. I can't do that.
Ian, are you off the brand
bear? I'm an off brand bear.
No, I like a good gummy bear, and then it has to be a good chocolate, too.
Space is just like, I like me a good bear.
I do. I love me a big, thick bear is what I like. Anyways, I believe we got your Twitter handle. Do you have any other handles?
Love handles? No, I'm just kidding. let me get
and your
my
Instagram,
yeah.
And of course, we'll put that in the information down below first so you guys can see that. So.
Yes.
Yeah. It's also Mellow Moon Mutt, but there is a period between all three words.
Oh.
Good to know.
Simple is a good way to go.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, I believe that wraps up today's show.
Yeah, I think it was a good one. It was educational. It was emotional, at least on my end, because I'm super sensitive to pretty much everything. So I'm like,
oh, buddy.
Parts of me over here were like welling up, and I'm just like, oh my God. I like silenced my audio so you couldn't hear it.
Having a sniffle.
Yeah, I mean, it's inspirational and it's emotional to hear it. I'm sure other people, when they listen to it, they'll also feel it as well. So,
all right. With that being said, that's the end of our show, and we will see you next time. Thank you for joining us, Jess. We really appreciated your company.
Really appreciated y'all. Y'all are awesome.
Have a good night, everyone, or a good day.